Chicago miss one hell game.
For the ball, get up! It's loose! It's on the way. Plenty of leg. Good!
It's football time in the Bluegrass. You're listening to the KSR Football Podcast.
Can you hear me now? Good. That means you're listening to the KSR Football Podcast. I'm Nick Roush with Freddie Magger, Charles Walker, Drew Franklin. Freddie, you have a look of disgust on your face right now.
I'm just exhausted.
It happens.
I'm tired. Yeah. I'm not disgusted. I'm just tired. But yeah, I'm fired up. Drew's here and Charles and Nick, and we're going to talk about this football game.
And Justice Dental.
And Justice Dental. They're never tired of Justice Dental.
No, they're working around the clock to keep your teeth in great shape. They got two locations in Lexington. If you don't have a dentist, you got to check them out now. And I'm actually considering making them my new dentist because my old one says your insurance is no good here anymore.
Go see Doc Thompson, man.
Yeah. They might be a little busy this week because I think LSU's whole team went there after getting their teeth kicked in Saturday.
But otherwise,
great stuff. You should check them out every week.
Man, it's got to be pretty embarrassing to play football for the Louisiana State University Tigers. Mm. I mean, you're seeing the Wildcats do your dance in the end zone. They're playing your song at Kroger Field.
That was a tough look.
I mean,
somebody did the gritty?
Dare did.
Dare, the transfer.
Oh, like
wow, through, I missed that.
Like through the end zone.
Not a little gritty. Should have been a flag, honestly. It was a full-on NFL celebration.
Wow. A taunt? It was a full-on NFL taunt? Because we've seen that call one too many times already.
He was skipping, just grittying.
Gridane.
Gridane.
I don't know. Gridane drive?
Through the end zone. But you know what? I don't feel bad for LSU fans, okay? I saw more Odell Beckham jerseys than Joe Burrow jerseys. They're idiots. Why? What championship did Odell Beckham win you? Joe Burrow, much, much better. He's still a loser, though. I don't feel bad for any of the LSU fans who drove up to Cincinnati to watch them just miss 17 field goals.
What was that?
Nice 0-2 weekend for our friends from Baton Rouge.
I mean, I've never seen so many field goals missed.
I couldn't believe it.
And one of the Bengals guy celebrated like he made it.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
That was a tough
watch. That was hysterical.
Drew Franklin had a tweet of the day about it. Did you see it?
I don't remember.
About Austin McGinn.
Oh, yeah. Austin would have made all of them, four, and then the fifth one.
Yeah.
Crosby, man. I mean, that's a name. That's a guy we all know is someone who used to have some success. That was hard to watch.
It was kind of like Guskowski last year. For your Titans, where you're used to seeing him awesome, and then he keeps missing, and it made it even worse when he took off his helmet and you saw the gray hair, and you're like, oh, well, that's because he's a bag of bones. Like, he's old.
Well, I was about to bring that up. I was sitting here at KS Bar and Grill when he took off his helmet, and I was like, oh, my God, he is so old. So we looked it up, and he is my age. So that actually made me feel very old.
Crosby?
Yeah, I think he's got me by a year, but still, that hair was solid white.
He looked like he was 55.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. But when you're a kicker.
Yeah, and when you're missing
kicks. Name a 55-year-old NFL player.
He should keep his helmet on. Like, in the you miss a kick, just keep the helmet on a little bit longer. You know, because when you make the long field goal, people are like, wow, can you believe that old man has still got it? But then when you miss it, they're like, wow, that old man is washed up. He should never try kicking football again.
Well, he should retire.
Which, by the
way, so should Coach Jeff.
I've got before we get into how great Saturday night's game is, I want to briefly pick a few bones with the fine folks at Kroger Field. First things first, they had a guy try to kick a field goal for a Chevy. They made him kick a 50-yarder.
Yeah, that's
some random
ridiculous
guy in satin jeans.
I mean, like
a 50-yarder.
A 50-yarder. Like, all right, 35. That's still a pretty tough kick.
Yeah.
Like I've made 35-yard field goals.
You've been around ball your whole life.
This guy, he kicked a 50-yarder. It hit the end line. Like, he made it 40 yards, And I thought that was pretty impressive in itself.
Absolutely.
But you could pull 59,800 people from the stands, and none of them could even kick a 40-yarder.
You could put Matt Ruffalo out. Yeah, he'd make, six out of 10?
No, he's making 10 out of 10. I mean, spicy Italian meatball is making 10.
That's a hard field goal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. For a guy who's just straight out of the crowd, probably had a good time tailgating.
Was it on an angle? Was it straight ahead?
It was straight ahead off a tee.
That's probably harder.
Which is even harder. Like, there was nobody holding it. Yeah. It was the little kickoff. Terrible contest. Like, you got to at least make it winnable, fine folks at Kroger Field. Secondly, where's our damn coffee? All right.
No coffee in the press box?
Oh, my gosh.
Nick and I were struggling.
It was. We had to do the thing where we went to the course at halftime. We found some coffee, though, and thanks to the fine woman who
– I didn't catch her name.
Yeah, she really hooked us up. It was life-saving.
She had just made a fresh pot, at 9:30 p.m., so we were excited to see her.
Nice.
People were dumbfounded. They're like, what are you all doing out here? Do you want a beer? No, we need coffee.
Yeah, some of us have jobs. We can't just watch football all Saturday.
Man. It would be a great time to not have a job, though, and just watch football Saturday, because Kentucky put it on him from start to finish. It was an absolute clinic, and unfortunately the scoreboard makes it look closer than doubling them up, but it was an absolute clinic. The Cats slayed the Tigers, and what was even more remarkable is that it was a game in which, when you talked about the script, it was almost like the if you heard some, a lot of folks in our line of duty, Freddie, the easy kind of go-to be like, you know what, LSU's reeling. If Kentucky goes out and punches him in the mouth early, LSU might completely unravel.
That's what happened.
Kentucky punches in the mouth early. We got a DeAndre Square strip sack. Josiah Hayes coming in, making a nice awareness to get the ball, fumble recovery. Kentucky goes down and scores. And here's the thing, too. The refs tried to take him away. And Kentucky said, by God, we're not letting them take away our touchdown.
Charles rewatching the play.
I'm watching the play right now.
Did you forget? Did you get a reserve?
No, I know this one.
You're right, though. It was a great start to the game, especially being a turnover. When all year, it's been the complaint, you got to fix the turnover battle. For a game of that magnitude, and you get a strip right there at the 50, just minutes into the game, that really, really, really set the tone.
And to add to it, you have that play at the end zone where, I mean, Isaiah Cummings, and this was a Chris Rodriguez at Auburn situation all over again,
yeah,
where the dudes caught the ball in the end zone, and they I don't understand.
I didn't finally get a good angle until I got home on that one, and we'd already won, so I didn't have reason to get mad, but that was 100% a touchdown.
It's one of the worst calls I've ever seen.
Really bad.
I mean, really, really bad.
I was okay with taking the targeting away. I don't know what you want that guy to do.
Okay,
but that ball was in the end zone.
But it was a reception. Yeah. He took three steps, was tackled, was laying on his back.
Has his own chest,
and the ball comes out.
They moved it back and said, second and 10. And I went, what just happened? I couldn't really hear because there are mics. Also, Kroger Field, the rest mics weren't working. I'm like, what's going on?
The crowd was too loud. We're not going to complain about
it.
The
only thing I heard
was too loud.
That's true. The only thing I heard was second down. I'm like, okay.
It wasn't just Kroger Field. It was on the TV, too.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. You couldn't hear him.
But then Mark Stoops does what none of us predicted he would ever do.
Oh, especially coming out of that timeout.
I
would have bet the house he'd take the three there and play defense.
I love it because we're in an age of analytics, and a lot of people in our business want to write novels about analytics. Mark Stoops is like, go away there, kid. I feel this. I'm going to go for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a gut feeling. A lot of times you can feel your team, and also – analytics don't account for the fact you trust your defense.
Yeah.
You don't make it, you give them the ball back, you're going to get it right back.
Yeah, on the two.
Well, let's talk about the play. I mean, just two.
Oh,
Rig
beautiful.
Was wide open as well.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I mean, wide open.
Beautifully designed.
That little Liam Cohen magic, baby.
And what I like, too, is, I mean, it set the tone. It showed that Stoops is saying, we're going to kick this team's ass.
Yeah.
All right? And it starts right here. We're going to get in the end zone. And also, to go back a week, the decision-making the previous week on 4th and 2 – there was some hemming, there was some hawing over what to call, that wildcat, the boo. They struggled in those short yardage situations. This was we've got a 4th down play we like.
Yeah.
Just go run it.
That play was made on preparation.
I feel like me and Mark Stoops have never been on the same page. And I'm not saying I'm the correct one. In fact, I'm probably incorrect every time because he's the one paid to coach football. But every time I think they should kick the field goal – this rarely happens, but anytime I think they should go for it, they kick the field goal. And then I actually wanted the three there, and he goes for it. Anytime I'm trying to predict what he's doing, I seem to be way off. But I'm glad he did, and obviously after we saw it, we knew he had a play in mind that would work.
The game was obviously a rout in context with what UK does to teams, right? It wasn't a close game. Can we talk about the rout in the coaching department of this football game?
Yes,
from
please.
Head coaching, Mark Stoops makes the decision to go for two or go for it on fourth down, touchdown.
Yep.
Coach O, with the best kicker in America, goes for it and doesn't get it with Cade York on the sideline. You're going to get 3 points there, and it's still a tight game. So, head coaching-wise, preparation, motivation, execution, Mark Stoops just really took it to O. O is a generation or a breed of head coaches that there's now only two in major college football that have never been coordinators, that are just cheerleaders, rah-rah guys.
Rah-rah guys.
Dabo Sweeney has never been a coordinator, is not an X and O guy. He brings his own guts and runs down the hill, right? Mm-hmm. If he doesn't have a generational quarterback, what goes on there? Pete Venables saves his butt, right, through paying $3 million a year. Coach O's in the same boat. Motivation guy, never been a coordinator, looked lost on the sideline to me on television. And then you get into the coordinator matchups. Brad White against Jake Peets should have been illegal because Brad White just took him to school and said, okay, Junior, sit in the corner. This is my ball game. On the other side, Lee and Cohen against Durante Jones was even worse of a route.
Yeah. Two
no adjustments.
And Jones was supposed to be kind of like Cohen. Like, he's this NFL guy. He's going to bring
him in there.
Hadn't
called a defense in 16 years. But yeah. when you are a rah-rah guy, not an X and O head coach like Dabo and Coach O, you are so reliant on your coordinators. This blew me away. Coach O didn't even interview the coordinators that he hired in 2020. Just hired them without an interview. Those guys are gone, and you replace them with Pete, who is an NFL guy and got coffee for Brady at Carolina, and you bring Jones in from the NFL, hadn't called a defense in 16 years. What are you expecting? If a head coach doesn't have a strong X and O presence, you're relying on your coordinators. I thought Cohen and Brad White absolutely whooped the crap out of Pete and Jones.
Man, some of the plays, too, that Cohen dialed up were
beautiful.
Like the fake toss.
Oh, that was awesome.
And then Justin Rigg is just trying. I mean, like, people were 20 yards away.
Yeah.
Did nothing but green grass around him. I mean, he could have ripped a fart and nobody would have smelled
yeah.
it.
At least for me, Cohen needed a good game. I mean, I'm not down on Cohen, but, you know, the offense has had some
bad
games where
yes.
they didn't look good.
Yes.
And, you know, I wanted to see a little more. We've been built up and heard all this, you know, Rams this, Rams that. He's young, wants to get after it. Still hadn't really seen that full game except for that first week. And then
yeah.
to do it against LSU, like I said, I was never off of Lynn Cohen, but it got me really excited that we saw him kind of hitting
absolutely.
On all cylinders there for a while.
And my final point on the head coaching aspect, what is a head coach in charge of? Mark Stoops is heavily involved with the defense. He was a highly successful coordinator. But your head coach is in charge of culture, personality, and identity of the program. Kentucky has a culture, has an identity, and a personality. LSU does not. It's a collection of individual talent.
Really good individual talent.
That underachieves and underperforms. Let's just be honest here.
The Boutte.
I mean, I hate to kick them on that because I respect LSU. I love their fans, nicest fans in the world, but – it is what it is. I mean, Kentucky whipped their tails in every aspect of the game of football.
You mentioned the fans. I rode the shuttle over to the game, and it was mostly LSU fans on the bus. And even in the, you know, this is an hour before kickoff, you could just tell they weren't respecting Kentucky.
Yeah.
There were a few Kentucky fans talking about we're going to win this, and they're rolling their eyes like, all right, enjoy your fun now. We're LSU. And they showed up cocky. Now, they weren't – I enjoyed them, too.
Yeah.
I know we met a lot of them. They weren't bad. But you could tell they were coming to this game still thinking it was going to be old Kentucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that individual talent, we saw it in garbage time. Boutte had he had a couple catches. The one touchdown catch that wasn't Boutte. Yeah.
Neighbors.
That was nuts. Well,
you have four true freshman receivers that are all 4 and 5 stars.
Yeah.
Then you have Boutte that got hurt, and I really hope that he comes back. I love him as a player.
Mm-hmm.
Hope he comes back. Man, hope he comes back to a program that cares about him.
You know, and I know one that would care about him.
I do,
and would love to see him make more plays in Lexington next year. Just throwing that out there, Boutte. Just throwing that out there.
Is that an option?
LSU players have done very well in the transfer portal in Kentucky. So, by all means.
Hey, did you like Rosenthal dancing in the end zone?
Oh, yeah.
So great.
So good. I know Boss Man was last year, but he actually has done interviews with the Cowboys where he brags about – he even said it was the best decision of my life to go to Kentucky from LSU.
Yeah.
If you have Rosenthal dancing on LSU, I really think this can start a trend. I mean, you have two proven guys who have loved that move that they made.
Man, just bring it. Let's keep this train rolling. Freddie, you mentioned it was you, Drew, mentioned Cohen. This was a good get-right game.
Yeah.
He kept saying last week, when things are going to click, it's going to be special. And I was kind of ready to just make this an hour of saying, I told you so, Freddie. Because you admittedly were
– I was tough on him.
Yeah.
Listen.
It's probably the harshest I've ever heard you. All the people who said, Freddie with his blue glasses, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Freddie, you were tough on him. Well, and then it was almost like they were like – oh, what were you saying, Freddie? It was like they took it. It was the Michael Jordan. I took that personally.
And I will say it again today if this was last week. Because I was just analyzing numbers. Numbers are black and white. There's no negotiation in the fact that Kentucky was scoring 1.5 touchdowns over the last two games. There was no negotiation that Will Levis had thrown for 102 and whatever, 70-something yards against Florida. I was expecting a lot more from the offense, and I wasn't critical. I was just being obvious and objective. It had not played well in the last two, in before LSU.
And then they got right.
They
in
got
the most
right.
Getting right way possible. Levis has 5 total touchdowns, 3 through the air, 2 on the ground. And he made some – heck, even – he only had 3 incompletions. The one was the Isaiah Cummings pass we talked about. And then the other one –
throwaway.
That ball to Wandale.
Yeah. Oh, that was beautiful.
Yeah, and the throwaway. That was it. Completed, 82% of his passes?
That's good.
Yeah, it's very good.
Throw to the Wandale, even though he didn't catch it, I mean, he had his fingertips on it. That's the best throw I've seen Will Levis make, including that open practice where he was hitting everybody.
We talked about it at length in the pregame show. I said Will Levis is not he's not built to be Peyton Manning. He's more built to be Josh Allen of Buffalo. Let him play football. Let him get hit in the mouth early. Let him just play the football game. Relax and run around and be creative. And he did that. I thought he played, even though he only threw for 145. I won the under on that, 150 yards.
Yep.
But I think his athleticism and his toughness and his leadership, and I can't remember who said it, his NIL, his marketing is creative, fun, and brilliant. Bring that to the football field. And I didn't see that against South Carolina and Florida.
Yeah, it was
just
a little,
the creativity, just him
too
having
tightly
fun.
Wound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and in this I'll end it with this. I'm not normally, is that actually it's probably bad English.
You're good.
Rough on student athletes. But if NIL is involved, you get into a different category with me. I'm gonna evaluate you a little tougher because you're making a lot of money playing this game, just like the NFL. You evaluate NFL players different than college. I evaluate dudes with NIL a little bit differently than I do the others.
And to your point about him having fun again, how about that spin move?
Loved it.
That entire run, but that spin, and if he could have stayed on his feet, that's SC top 10.
Loved it.
Yeah.
But he is that team's offensive spark plug, their personality, their fire, you know, because a lot of the dudes are quiet in nature. Fortner said, 12 words since he's been on campus? You know, he's a leader. Wandale is not very vocal. That vocal leader is Will Levis, and Saturday's what I've been wanting to see from him. Not the 500, 400-something yards against ULM. I mean, it's ULM. In a meaningful game, to take the offense, put it on his back, run the football, which he does extremely well, be incredibly accurate in the short to intermediate throws. That's the Will Levis that I've been wanting to see, and he came through, Charles.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that creativeness starts with Liam Cohen as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
and one throw that we – because I think the big thing with him is just getting him going.
Yeah, getting hit.
Getting hit and then throwing a laser.
Yeah.
That third and nine that he threw to – yes.
Yeah.
Like that was a huge play for – for Epps, for Levis, for the offense in general to build some early confidence. Because, I mean, I feel like that's what a lot of this is, Chuck. And, man, you can't give this offense as much confidence as possible because they need it going into that Georgia game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think again, going back to Liam Cohen's play calling, when you can have a fourth and two with two wide open receivers and or running backs, tight ends, whatever you want to call it, pass catchers, that just builds it all up. And the big moments that happened on Saturday were what? You know, 15-1 in regards to which team was making that big play at that crucial moment. And we did it all game long.
Both sides, all three sides.
Yeah, absolutely.
Best special teams game
Their
of the year.
Their punter could boot it too.
Yeah. Goodfellow, 46 yards punting.
Yeah.
Ruffalo, 6 for 6 on PATs. Chance Poor, 7 for 7 in kickoffs into the end zone.
Yeah.
How funny was that segment where Kentucky, it's 4th and 6, Kentucky punts it to the 14, but LSU's offsides. All right, let's go try and get them to jump offsides. And there's a lot of like, which should have been offsides on them. I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
what did someone said that the ball didn't move a little bit on our center, but
Fortner did the thing to move once the other person.
Yeah, that was another call I didn't like. And if a defense is mimicking an offensive call,
that's a flag.
It's a delay of game penalty on the defense. Yeah. So if you're a clapping team, if the defense is clapping, but it's such a judgment call.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then Kentucky then gets backed up 5 yards. You punt it again, and it's the same exact spot.
Yeah.
That was funny. I enjoy the dumb little things that happen in our sport from time to time. I also enjoy watching Chris Rodriguez just run it all. Oh, my
God. And Smoke. I mean, Smoke had that nice run.
Smoke had
– another big block.
I was very – I was worried that he wasn't going to get 100. I saw that they modified the numbers a little bit after the game.
Yeah, we were actually communicating about
that. A scorebook error. He deserved to have a 100-yard game.
Yes, he did.
He was at 97 there for a little bit. He deserved to be able to get past that 100-yard threshold because he played really well.
And
he was doing the – he didn't have the big – I mean, he had the one play where he got about 20 yards downfield and just needed to make one guy miss. He couldn't do it. Because that was a 90-yard touchdown if he beats that one guy. But he's getting those 10 and 14-yard runs now, or eight like that 8 to 14 yards that just makes your second down so easy or moves the stick. He's playing football well right now, Freddie.
251 yards for Smoke and Rodriguez, average 9 yards a carry. There were some drives that – the running back rotation was a little, I don't know. How do I describe that? Little.
What's force feed donut?
Little odd. Yeah. But other than that, those two, I mean, those two, 251 yards, 9 yards of carry against a very talented LSU defense. And you talked about him getting tackled in one-on-one situation down the field.
That's
just a dude on a dude, you know. I mean, that happens.
And you got to win that. No, you got to win that. Rodriguez, Smoke, McClain.
Man.
Ruffalo, then donut.
And I think there was an extent of like, all right, we got McClain back.
Yeah.
Who's going to get this spot? Is it going to be McClain or is it going to be Donut?
Needs to be in McClain 100% of the time.
I think we learned that.
Yeah.
You know, they gave them both their chance. Donut got tackled for loss. And McClain, they finally hit a wheel route.
Finally. That's what we've been waiting on.
Oh, man.
For 6 years.
And I like the fact, and Drew's favorite play, the outside zone finally hit.
Yeah.
I mean, I was beyond happy. Rodriguez had a couple cutback runs off that outside zone. Was absolutely textbook.
That's what we've been waiting for. Been waiting to see more of it.
Of course. Well, I wanted to ask you because you were there. What's the play he hates and why does he hate it? I read your article, but
it was the last touchdown.
When he scored that touchdown, so our listeners know.
Does not like that play. Just like one of those.
No reason.
Some
people don't
like saying, I don't know. Something feels wrong about this. I don't like it. But I'm going to score a touchdown on it anyway, damn it. He also said that in the touch. He never saw the ball that he caught the touchdown. He never even saw the pass, which I appreciate being candid. But he's like, Epp says, he told me if you ever lose the ball on the light, just catch the light. So he stared at the light and caught it, and it worked.
I don't think I could love a player more than I love Chris Rodriguez. I'm just going to say it.
He's fun, man. And the thing, too, that was what got me for the first time. I finally got a good question from Liam Cohen. Luckett had about 7 during our Zoom sessions, but I finally was like, so, what like you ran the most outside zone you ran so far? Oh, great question. Let me tell you about how I knew it was going to work so much. But I – when you can get some outside zone working, Freddie, yeah. you can also get your play action game going.
Exactly.
And it made life easy for Will Levis. And I don't know how much they can get away with this outside zone against Georgia this week
tough.
Because those guys are freaks
yeah,
and they cover ground in a hurry. But if you at least make them respect that enough, then you can set up a couple of play action shots.
Yeah. I mean, Jordan Davis in the middle, 6'6", 360 pounds. He's going to be a handful to try to block for Cox, Horsey, and Luke Fortner. So, yeah, I mean, outside zone could work, you know, but when – what Georgia does, so, I mean, so many things Georgia does great defensively. It looks like they have 9 linebackers on the field at once. I mean, all those dudes can run. Only give up 5.5 points a game. I mean, number one in the nation in pass defense, total defense, scoring defense. Here's a number that I saw, I dug up today. I was going to run by you guys. Georgia for the season has 86 quarterback hurries. 86. That's 14 a game-ish.
And that's out of, I'm sure, so that's pretty much half of their dropbacks, I would imagine.
I would imagine.
Yeah. Gosh.
86.
Every week we talk Georgia on our Free Money podcast and other places. I've tried to make excuses. I'm like, well, Clemson's down. That's why Georgia beat them and held them to that. Then the next week I'm like, well, you know, that offense isn't very good. The next week, well, that offense isn't very good. Then I actually bet on Auburn last week, and now I finally just have to accept they're unbelievable.
Yeah,
you know, I try to make excuses for the first 5 weeks of the season, but they're an NFL team.
You bring up a great point, Drew, because I really dug deep into this Georgia team, played 6 games. 3 of the offenses that they faced have been ranked anywhere from 100 to 128. But are these ranked there because they played Georgia,
yeah.
or are they bad offenses? Now, we'll say this. Clemson is bad offensively.
Mm-hmm.
South Carolina is worse than Clemson, which is hard to be.
Yeah, it's impressive.
Vanderbilt though. Is worse than South Carolina, which is nearly impossible. Those are 3 – I don't have a good word. How to
anemic.
Anemic.
There we go.
Offenses that Georgia has just stuffed. I mean, the best offensive team that Georgia's faced is Arkansas, who is 6th in the SEC in total yards. They've not faced a top – 6 offensive team.
And I'm sure those numbers are inflated after their game against LSU.
Exactly.
That's right.
So yeah. I made this statement today, and I think it's true. Georgia is the best opponent that Kentucky has faced to this point. Fair?
Yeah.
Kentucky is the best opponent that Georgia will have faced this far. Fair?
Fair.
Yeah.
I think 22 points is a lot of points.
It is in fact, a lot of points. I wanted to – so – my overwhelming feeling this week, I know there's a lot, like, you know, we can get drunk off of, I'm not going to be Freddie here and tell you not to taste sugar. You can dream college football playoff dreams. Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Kentucky 6-0 for the first time in 71 years. The part of this that, like, there's 2 things I'm kind of getting here from the team, the players, and from Mark Stoops. Kentucky is doing something similar with Georgia that they were doing with Florida for a few years. It was that we're knocking. But it took a while to finally get your entire locker room to believe that they're winning this game when they come on the field, that they have the guys that can compete with their guys and win this football game. I think Kentucky has gotten to that point in recent years. Hell, the 2018 game out of the previous 3, that was probably the one they were out of quicker than all the ones since then. In 2019, it's a scoreless slugfest. You have Chris Rodriguez drop a touchdown and take a 7-0 lead in the end zone. They're right there in that game. Last year, Rodriguez runs at 5 yards a carry. He only gets 20 carries. They can't convert a 3rd down. They lose 17-3. That was 14-3 with Joey Gatewood at quarterback. It was about as bad. But they were there. They were competing. They were going toe-to-toe. I think the frustrating part on Stoops' end today that you kind of saw, and not only because there was you know, some people asking some really stupid questions.
We got to talk about that. That's beyond bad what happened today. So go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. But
I want to hear this.
It's awful.
Yeah, there was just some really bad questions. Like the first question was, do you think this is like an NFL playoff game? Which
yeah.
Yeah,
that doesn't even make sense.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was very bad. So
it was awful.
I think Stoops
I wish Stoops would have just walked out.
It was bad. But I do think that at least some of there is a point where Kentucky's been building for this, but this is Georgia's best shot at winning a title. I mean, I think this team, not from an offensive skill point, but this defense is better than their defense when they should have won the national title.
Oh, it's
and
way
they
better.
Lost it to a now, offensively, they've got Brock Bowers, who is unlike any – I mean, he's Kyle Pitts, but, like, the tight end version of Kyle Pitts, like the more, like, physical version of him. They do a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Their running backs aren't as good as they were. And they don't have Pickens. Like, they don't have that skill talent. But defensively, this is probably the best they've been, and that's what makes this hard. Is Kentucky's really been building for this, but they have to do – even on your bad drives, you just can't go three and out.
Yeah.
You have to get some first downs, and that's hard. I mean, that's really hard. And I think that's where there's going to be some rubber meat in the road Saturday, Freddie, some frustration.
Yeah.
Because Kentucky, they're right there, but this defense really is just on another level.
Look at this Georgia defense, Chuck. 86 quarterback hurries, 36 tackles for loss, 22 sacks. I mean, the number one ranked defense in the country in scoring, 5.5. The fourth rated rush defense, 67 yards a game in the country. The first ranked pass defense, 137 yards in the country. 203 yards, the number one defense in the country in total. So let's look at the offense.
What was funny too, Chuck, is you know how coaches will like just guess numbers when they're up there? Stoops actually got them right. He was like, They're only giving up 200 something yards a game. That's 100 better than anybody in our conference. And he was correct. Alabama is 304 and Kentucky's 305. Yeah. Third.
Tell y'all, there's been two teams that I've been hammering every Saturday: Kentucky Wildcats spread and or money line, and the Georgia Bulldogs spread and or money line.
Ooh. You're in a pickle.
I'm in a pickle, and
you're due for a push.
I'm due for a push, or maybe I just won't touch it. I don't know. I've been a Kentucky money line, so maybe I just do that. Maybe I do it. Maybe I don't want the points.
You have watched them both play in person.
I have.
And who left you more impressed on the football field?
Well, it's just different. One, because Clemson, and I will say Florida's defense is humongous. I mean, they're huge and they're fast.
You mean Georgia?
Georgia.
What did I say?
Florida.
Yeah.
They've already lost to Kentucky.
There we go.
Yeah.
They're in fourth place.
But Georgia does not have a quarterback. So if we can, like you said, no three and outs or limit the three and outs, we can break big plays and we can play with them. That's why the line being at 24 is just crazy to me. But I don't know. I always have to think that there's reasoning. Vegas knows. I mean, Vegas knows. But so what is that reasoning?
I think they're just trying to see, like, they're daring people to not bet Georgia.
I think they are, which is what they've been doing all year long.
Yeah. Trying to get people off of that.
Georgia's offense is eighth in the SEC, which is the bottom half in total offense.
Yep.
432 yards. Stetson Bennett is a game manager, 5'10".
Is JT Daniels officially out? Is his
I don't
hand?
Know.
What is the –
It's like a
– It's something new every time
hernia,
he gets hurt.
Abdomen. Basically, he's just got a hernia.
Okay.
And, yeah. I doubt he's playing. I doubt he is.
Yeah. Four running backs that are off effective. They don't have a running back as Chris Rodriguez like. I think Will Levis is better than Stetson Bennett. I think Wandale Robinson is better than any receiver that
Georgia
George
has. Pickens.
What's their O-line like?
It's good. I mean, they're physical. I mean, they're well coached. They're extremely talented. The most talented team Kentucky's played yet by a big stretch.
Yep.
But, you know, if Ox was playing, if Marquand was playing, then I mean I'm excited about this game, and I'm optimistic about this game. If those two were playing, I would be extremely optimistic. Not saying hey Kentucky's going to go down there and beat them. I'm saying what do you got to lose? Just go out there. You got an open week following this.
Yep, I do love that.
Nobody in the world thinks you're going to win, so that's a perfect scenario for Mark Stoops and his team to go down there and play loose and just give Georgia their best shot. Just give them everything. Just leave it out there and give them your best shot on offense, defense, special teams.
I just got done stretching because I'm going to reach really far here. Might even hurt myself. Ooh. Is there any chance Georgia, now being number one and got that Alabama loss up there, maybe they'll come in a little full of themselves? I know on the other sport that we don't talk about, it seems like a lot of times the team gets to number one and loses right away just because they feel like they're riding high. Is there any chance Georgia might have a little of that, finally getting that number one and being above Alabama when they've been the little brother for several years, or is they just going to come in and
Is this soccer you're talking about?
Oh, no, basketball. Oh. I'm just saying, I'm trying to talk to myself. I'm trying to make up reasons that give Kentucky advantages, and I'm hoping Georgia now having that clear path with Alabama out of the way and that one by their name, maybe they're a little full of themselves. Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, it's a reach, but
maybe they'll get overstretched with all the media there. With
that, they're good.
With the one pregame show I wouldn't watch on a bet, and then the real one going to be there.
That's
Herb
true.
Street and those guys, you know, of course. So, I mean, he's picking Georgia, so get used to ready for that.
Yep.
But that's a lot of media responsibilities and additional things. The pressure of being the number one team. I mean, all that could add up, Drew. I agree with you.
And then they have a bye the next week. I don't know. I'll just keep reaching. Maybe they're ready to take a week off. Maybe they're looking past
Kentucky.
And they're
beat up as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's an unlikely scenario, but let me dream.
They're down players also.
The part with all of this that really stinks is that we did get the bad news this morning.
Yes.
Octavius Oxendine. I mean, it's shades of J.J. Weaver. We're getting deja vu all over again because middle of J.J. Weaver's best game, he tears his ACL.
Yeah.
Middle of Ox's best game, he gets credit for two sacks because he had the pressure on the intentional grounding. He ends up tearing his meniscus, done for the year. And not only was that a position that UK had struggled at, he'd taken that next step to where he was not only just being big and stout in the run, but he was applying pressure in the pass. And the part that really hurts Freddie is every team Kentucky's played has ran right at whoever's not number eight. Yeah. They just run right at – oh, eight's out of the game, we're going right at that three
tight. LSU ran for 147
most yards they've had all
year.
You
know, I thought they'd do that. I thought they would really focus on the run because that's what O talked about the whole week. In every – not every – Drew, I would say 96% of all times LSU ran the ball. Number 87 was the game, the tight end, which was kind of a trend there for the offensive coordinator. And then they ran away from Josh Pascal. So, and if Ox was, you know, when Ox went down, they ran away from Josh Pascal in an obvious focus. So I think you're going to see that Saturday. I think you're going to see him run away from Pascal and run right out whoever's in that defensive tackle rotation.
I didn't love we get the news of his co-defensive lineman of the week and out for the year within like 20 minutes of each other. That was a little unfair.
Like 20 seconds. It was 20 like seconds, bang, really. Bang. Yeah. So it's really unfortunate because the North Harden kid is playing well. He's real like
lovable.
He's
kid.
Yeah, he's big personality.
His name's Ox. Come on. You can't be Ox and not have personality.
I know, man. It stinks.
You know,
there's no way around it.
Eli Cox, co-offensive lineman of the week. Ox, co-defensive lineman of the week.
Two Kentucky kids.
Well, I think you combine those, you get – you know, we talked earlier about the personality and culture of a football program. Those two guys personifies that personality and culture. Eli Cox was not a highly recruited player. Comes to UK, works his butt off, great teammate. Just developed. Kentucky's a great player development program, was developed into a starter. Now he's excelling. Ox was a four-star. Kentucky has 20-something four-stars. You get those – but as we saw in the LSU, you can get four, five stars every day. If you don't develop one, it ain't worth squat.
Yeah.
Ox has developed under Ammar Stewart. He's taken to coaching, great attitude. Those two really, for me, personifies this Kentucky football culture.
The Ox news was some bad news, but I do have some good news, and that's that you can be making money with MyBookie.
Oh, that's great news.
It's great news. Use the promo code KSR at MyBookie.ag, and MyBookie – they're so nice, Charles. They're so giving. They want you to have a good time. They're going to double your deposit at mybookie.ag.
What's the max there?
250.
What is MyBookie? Is this the prize picks?
No,
it's a website where you can gamble.
Is that legal?
A friend
in
of mine whose name I won't say put in money on MyBookie this week because of KSR. Look at his balance from the weekend.
What? That? Oh my God! That is so much money.
Yeah. So apologies to my bookie for my buddy.
Five digits.
Gosh. Yeah, you know, he had a good weekend.
That is a lot of digits.
So other people should go to my bookie because clearly there's good luck when you go to my bookie.
Now, how is it legal
to
have
my
bookie?
Ohio or Indiana?
It's because it's you know. It's Chuck, online. Do you not know how this stuff works?
I mean, I.
It's called offshore gambling. They're not based in Kentucky.
Yeah.
But I can't do a DraftKings.
Correct.
Yeah.
So where are they? Even if they're based in Indiana?
Do we have to teach you how gambling laws work?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't – yeah.
The good thing about my bookie is that it's easy, secure.
Yeah.
You can go through them and go around our state legislation.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. That's all I needed.
Yeah, that's all you need to know.
They're not based in the United States of America, so they can do whatever they want.
Exactly. Like, wow. Like doubling your first deposit by
so
using
promo
code.
So what are the odds your buddy gets paid on that?
Great, because it's already safe, cashed secure. Out.
I would retire off that.
Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with my bookie. Wow.
Legend.
That really was. That's a legendary weekend. And I would have a kind of legendary weekend if the Ravens won tonight.
Who does your buddy have at 3:30
I haven't asked him yet,
Saturday.
But I will be riding that wave for sure. I will be texting him before 8 o'clock. What is the line tonight on Little Ravens?
7.5 Over at 47. So do we tease it down to a point or 1.2 and the under or the
breaking
over
news.
It?
Oh.
Juan Enana.
Will Levis is one of the – Davey O'Brien National Quarterback Awards, great eight after his 5-touchdown performance against LSU.
Good job, Woo! Will Levis.
Great job, Will Levis.
Saw Will Levis yesterday at KS Bar and Grill meeting the people. Mm-hmm. My man had a big weekend.
Man, great time to schedule an autograph
sign. Talk about calling your shot.
Man, 5 touchdowns, beat the snot out of LSU, then go sign some autographs the next day. Like,
good for him.
It's a good weekend.
I love that they're all getting paid now. I think it's great.
I do, too. I love it.
I love the – it makes me so sad to know that he's not in the game. But the Marquand McCall with his heavy machinery.
I know.
I want to see
– shout out Jason Huber.
Yeah, Central Equipment.
He had the chainsaw. I want to see him on a jackhammer. I know that might not be doable because he's got, like, an ankle. But, man, really want to see him on a jackhammer.
I saw Jagger Burton on one of those with
yeah.
a chainsaw
he's
yesterday.
Got a chainsaw one out, too.
Yeah, oh, he's got a chainsaw one.
And Levis is taking the team to Malone's, right?
That's
he
good.
Did that last night after he left here. And then I saw a new one, Josh Pascoe and Bully, with a massive stack of pancakes from Wild Eggs.
Yeah.
So,
oh, my gosh,
nice.
That's awesome.
They're making
that
their rounds.
Great. Yeah. We had a – there's a Chris Rodriguez roofing one. The ceiling is
I've
the
seen
roof.
That
oh,
billboard.
I've seen that.
Yeah. Love it.
Which – that's my favorite part, too, is that they're getting billboards. Because billboard is the coolest, like.
Oh, I mean, think about that. If you're driving in Lexington before a big game, or you're on that bus and you see a big billboard of you on
I
it,
I love it
like,
for the kids because it's about time.
It's awesome.
Two, I love it because it sticks it to the NCAA. And anytime I can see anything stick it to the NCAA, I'm happy.
Really, yesterday I was thinking about this when I was watching everybody go through that line, and I was thinking about people who hate it. Every person that met him was so excited, and they were so happy, and they were happy to hand him $30.
Good.
He was so happy to meet them and give them $30. If both people on that transaction had a great day, why are people complaining?
Because they're grouchy.
Everybody there was so excited to see him, and you wouldn't get that opportunity without
him. Are people complaining?
Some. I mean, it's not many.
Oh,
but
my radio
like, why
producer.
Would you, why would you take their happiness, the fans, who are happy to hand over $30?
Yeah.
And why do you care if Will Levis makes a little extra money and can go out and meet the fans?
I'm becoming more anti-establishment as I get older. Isn't that
well, I mean,
crazy?
What is, I don't understand. What, they shouldn't be able to make money. They're getting a free scholarship already.
Well, some people, Mitch Barnhart, thinks that it'll ruin the locker room. No one is complaining that Will Levis came here and made $30 off some fans in that locker room.
If you see this team, watch this team play. They love each other.
Yep.
They play for each other.
This ain't LSU, all right? There's
a
culture
big difference.
In this
big
locker
difference,
room,
yeah.
You know?
We saw something that we knew we'd see out of Stoops, and we have seen out of Stoops, and Drew Barker pointed out, I think it was when Darian went down. I mean, immediately he was rolling around. It looked like that.
Oh,
he looked, it looked terrible.
Me to death, yeah.
Oh, I was
I mean,
terrified.
And Stoops is right there.
He was rolling
right
over
him.
To his side, and you're like, what the hell?
Scared
you don't
me to
roll.
Death, man.
And then –
he was. I mean, he was in
thank
pain.
Thank God he ran off the field.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I did not want to see like some limp. When he ran off, and he was during a commercial break, I felt so bad for the people.
Oh
at
yeah.
Home.
So you got all your recruits there watching you in a primetime game against the LSU, and your head coach is out there with one of your key players down on a knee.
And after
he said,
the game,
you know what I mean?
Hugging,
that's
hugging. Golly.
Who was he hugging?
I didn't see who hugged. I'd help you, but I don't know.
Chris Oates.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yes. Definitely with Chris Oates.
Yeah. I loved him seeing Stoops hug him after the game. That's not staged either. You and I both knew that, Mark.
No.
That's genuine.
Stoops
gave him the game ball last week, too.
Yeah.
Stoops is too bad of an actor to stage anything. You know?
Oh, the moment Stoops tried to stage something, we'd all be like, that's staged.
Yeah.
He's so genuine.
Who
really
are you
is.
Fooling? Like, come on, Mark. There aren't any more significant injuries. Like Josh Alvey is not going to play, though. McCall's not going to play. There's some guys dinged up, as you would say, Freddie.
Yeah. Week seven, that's common.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So you just hope that going into the most physical game to date that they can withstand some of that. Know a couple times down there at Georgia, C.J. Conrad got hurt, and that was in a really tough spot because I think two plays later they had Rig open, you know, for a touchdown, and that would have been C.J. Rig can't handle the catch, you know, and things kind of – get sideways there. It's going to be a physical game. Kentucky's got to bring it. And you brought up the big plays earlier, Charles. And if Freddie, if I'm Kirby Smart, I'm saying anybody but Wandale Robinson and Chris Rodriguez, any of you all can beat me.
100%.
So who is it for UK that can beat them? If they are trying their damnedest to take away those two guys.
You take away Wandale with the 86 quarterback hurries and the 22 quarterback sacks. That's how you take away Wandale. I'm not so sure there's a defensive back in the conference that can hold up against Wandale one-on-one. So you alter how he gets the football by hitting Will Levis and getting pressure. With Chris Rodriguez, I think you made a great point, Nick, that Georgia can play base and be pretty daggone good.
Yeah.
You know, because that's something that they're so talented. Yeah. You know,
you don't got to grant them
no,
them.
No.
Because they're so – I think what makes the Georgia defense so impressive to me is their athleticism in open space. Like, they don't move
– bunch of linebackers. But here's something. This is what defines this Georgia defense for me. The linebackers are great. I mean, they got a bunch of them. They can do sideline to sideline. They can tackle the quarterback or that, whatever. Jordan Davis, they're All-American. 15 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, 1.5 sacks, 4 quarterback hurries. His backup is a true freshman, Drew Franklin, Jalen Carter. 11 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, 1.5 quarterback sacks, 10 quarterback hurries. And then you just keep going and going, and those defensive linemen, you can just run them in. So Georgia will have a fresh defensive line through their rotation of depth. That's how you beat Chris Rodriguez.
So they platoon.
Yes.
There's a guy by the name of Matt Hayes. He was an OG. He was like one of the first online NFL draft guys. Like, that's how he kind of cornered the market. And he does a weekly column for Saturday Down South. And one of the NFL scouts he talked to is like, really the equalizer here, the backbreakers that can actually put that Georgia defense on its heels, it's Will Levis's legs.
Absolutely.
It's the creativity that we saw on Saturday. It's Georgia playing too high, everybody's man underneath. So you do what Patrick Mahomes did on Sunday Night Football before the Bills ran up the score, and that's run for 15 yards and then slide. Mm-hmm. Slide, Will.
So if you're Georgia, do you play base? Bracket Wandale and say beat us? I mean, that'd be the smart play there.
I think so.
Yeah.
The part that I am curious, because Kirby don't like to get in these big games. He'll happily play in the mud with Mark Stoops. Yeah. He likes the low scoring games.
Yeah.
What I'm curious, like, are they gonna just try to go north south and run at Kentucky? Because I feel like that's doesn't work too well.
I mean, what else are they going to do? I mean, you're going to put the game on the shoulders of Stetson Bennett the 4th?
Mailman.
What's the mailman?
That's his nickname.
Yeah.
Oh, they call Stetson Bennett the 4th the mailman?
Yeah, he used to wear a U.S. Postal Service hat to camps to get noticed because nobody else wouldn't pay attention to the 5'10 kid.
I think it's because his name's Stetson Bennett the 4th, not because he's 5'10". It's just not a football name. No offense to all the Bennetts, 3rd, 2nd, and 1st, and maybe there's a 5th soon.
See, here's
just it doesn't scare me.
It's also the most – isn't that the most Georgia quarterback name?
Well, I'd say he should go to Vanderbilt, but then it's probably a good Georgia name.
Sounds like a Wake Forest kicker.
JT Daniels also looks like the most
– I feel like that's more of a Georgia name right there.
He's from California.
And he looks like a
really?
Prick.
That does not sound like a California
you know,
name.
Like the little mustache – like.
I want to be careful making fun of Stetson Bennett the 4th.
Oh, I'm not.
Yeah, he'll light us up if we get too carried away. It's just not a name where you think quarterback.
Yeah. And
he signs your taxes.
Yeah.
Give him credit. He has done a tremendous job of what he's been asked to do, manage the games and let that defense win football games for you. I think Kirby will try to shorten the game
and run the ball
and take shots to Bowers, the tight end. Jermaine Burton is another player. And Kyrus Jackson was injured early. He is really, really fast, Charles. He's one of those small Georgia receivers that are just very shifty.
Isaiah McKenzie.
Yeah, he's coming on after his injury. So I think Georgia runs the football at Kentucky, then play actions with a tight end and just deflates. And I think Georgia's goal in this game, this is going to sound stupid because every team's goal is to win. I think Georgia's get a win here and get to the bye week.
Yep.
Two players we haven't talked enough about, Chuck. Josh Pascal. I mean.
It doesn't always show up in the stat sheet, but he plays his butt off. And yeah. Like Freddie said, it's hard to get stats when they're just running away from you.
Yeah, they are.
The DeAndre Square strip sack, uh-huh. Pascal just like took out the entire right side of the LSU offensive line. He did it again, too, on another one.
I love that clip that's going around.
Jacob Tamey tweeted out of him just destroying. I mean, that guy's got train tracks. I mean, he's got skid marks on his eye from Josh just mowing him down.
And he went through the center, and Jeff Saturday, one of the best of all time, if not the best of all time, even chimed in like, ugh, not a good look for the centers. Yeah. That's back-to-back weeks. Jeff Saturday is talking about a Kentucky football hit, too. He was talking about smoke last week.
Yeah, and I think another player that we're not talking enough about is Carrington Valentine.
Oh,
yeah. I think he's developing nicely right in front of our eyes.
And he'll only get better as he gets bigger,
more
faster.
Snaps, yeah.
And I think they made a big catch on him, but it was one of those NFLs, like, what are you going to do?
It was a five-star out there doing five-star
wasn't
things.
That on Valentine? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do about it? Yeah.
And he's been – like, we've seen the growth there where there was one play in particular that I think they ended up getting a first down, but it was like a swing pass, and it's just one-on-one in space. If he misses, that dude might be going to the house. And instead, he prevents him from getting the first down. Like, that's a good, smart play. The one I was going to say, he's really starting to get some shades of Mike Edwards on me. And I think he could be one of those guys that just hangs around for a long time. That's Tyrell Asian.
Yeah.
Because he's gotten really good.
Solid.
But he dropped a pick. Did he not?
No, he did.
Quandre Mosley.
I thought it was Asian.
Yeah. But
it was Mosley.
I feel like Asian is – whenever there's those tight slants and they're trying to get those underneath routes on third down, Asian's just putting his nose in there in the slot. And he comes up. He's not afraid to make plays and run support. He's one guy that we aren't talking a lot about, Freddie, because he hasn't he's not Yusuf Corker leading the league in pass breakups and stuff.
Absolutely. You know? He's, again, senior, veteran player. He's seen everything. He's gone through the league once or twice or three times as far as seeing opponents.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very sound fundamentally, extremely sound fundamentally. Back to the Georgia offense, I think Chris Rodriguez is the best running back in the group. But talking to that Georgia depth, you got four dudes that Georgia plays at running back. James Cook is one of the best running backs in the country, going out of the backfield catching passes. Zamir White is excellent. So
the Zeus thing is lame, though.
Yeah.
We can all agree. Yeah. He's no Zeus.
But the thing that separates Georgia, one
enough.
Of the many
they
things.
They had Nick Chubb. Like, Chubb is Zeus.
If
like,
you're going to call yourself Zeus, you better be Zeus.
I think Georgia depth is jumps out at me as much as anything. That defense, obviously, but depth and talent is everywhere.
You know what's really going to jump off to me this weekend, Chuck, is Clayton Street. You ever been there?
Mm-mm.
It's a good time.
Is that a country music singer?
No. It's a street where they have a lot of establishments.
Where at?
In Athens.
Oh, yeah. Nice town.
Yeah. Very much looking forward to going. I don't know who is going to be there, Drew.
Sounds like I am.
I know that Wuckett and I, we got our foot in the door early.
Is REM playing?
What?
REM?
Yeah. Losing My Religion?
They're from Athens.
Yeah, they're a Georgia band.
So is the B-52s.
Really?
Yeah.
Zach Brown, I know, went there. I don't think he's from there.
No.
Who's the celebrity guest picker?
Oh,
Luke
who,
Bryan, if I know
I would think
ESPN
that it would
the
be,
way I think
yeah.
I know ESPN. It'll be
– and they've already spent their one on
could
Harris
be could be Riley Green. He's pretty famous now.
They play for the Braves?
No.
No, the Braves should be, though, up 2-1. Let's get this series tomorrow.
If they win, then I could see that happening because it would be some time between games, right?
Oh, you saying a home game? Maybe a little doubleheader?
I was just talking about, like, they could get a Braves picker.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because they can close out the series tomorrow.
Right.
I don't know. Georgia's got a lot of options. I'm going to log a pick right now for Luke Bryan. Let's all log a pick.
I'm going to say other, quote-unquote, country music guy I've never heard of that basically just raps when he
So all of them. You're taking all of the Billboard charts.
I don't know any of the new country music singers, so I'm out on that. So University of Georgia, I'm going to go Fran Tarkenton.
Oh.
I Googled.
You knew that is, Charles?
No.
he had all the NFL passing records.
Played for the Vikings.
Yeah. I Googled the most famous Georgia fans. Yeah. And number one, I can already tell you, is not a Georgia fan.
Who's that?
Samuel L. Jackson.
Huh. I thought he was an Ole Miss fan.
Yeah. No, that's
Morgan
Freeman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I thought – I've seen Samuel L. Jackson other stuff. Okay, second choice is Ryan Seacrest. Probably not going to get him.
No.
What about Quavo from Migos?
Oh, it could be them. It could be all three.
You've been listening to Migos lately, Freddie?
No. I listen to little Dwight Yoakam.
You like Offset the most.
You get your wrist twisting like it's stir fry.
Yeah.
Even though that's a very old song. I'm well aware.
That is, yeah.
It's their best song, though. Their best work.
I'll give you a few more, then we'll move on because these people aren't important to us this week. We got a little Luke Bryan is mentioned.
Yeah.
Who is he's a singer?
Yeah.
You've heard him.
Well,
Bubba
girl,
Watson.
Shake it.
Ooh,
buddy.
I like that one.
Bubba Watson's a big Georgia fan. I can see that one.
I like that one.
I don't know what the PGA is like this week.
I hear Bubba's kind of a jerk.
I've
heard that. He's out.
Can confirm.
He's out.
I'm not a Bubba fan here.
Me neither.
I would say
that
to his face.
Ooh, what if we got Patrick Reed and then he stole Rhys Davis's wallet?
Okay, we're talking about golfers who aren't popular. Bubba's not half as bad as Patrick Reed.
Agreed.
Patrick Reed's going to steal the mascot head from Lee Corso.
Oh, man.
Either way, there will be a heavy Kentucky presence, as you were saying. You're going. I think now the KSR pregame show is going.
Oh, man. It's
Freddie's
going to
hold down Glasgow for the game of the week facing Taylor County. Go Scotties.
Made the announcement.
Oh, was I not supposed to say that?
I don't know. It's probably on the website by now.
Rewind. I didn't say that. we'll bleep that out.
You mean Harlan County?
Whatever. I don't know anything. I just say things out loud. I don't know what I'm talking about.
It could be out by now.
Yeah, it might be. But I don't know. We had a practice.
It'll be a nice little football podcast nugget for our
listeners.
I'll
go ahead and tell you. Yeah. It's Taylor County at Glasgow. Two top five 3A teams. Taylor County has Hayes Johnson.
Big old boy.
An offensive lineman with a UK offer. Glasgow leads the state in rushing. Taylor County's fourth in rushing. It's going to be a lot of running game. It's going to be at Glasgow. Never been to
Scotties.
A game there. The Scotties.
Oh, it's a nice spot.
Yeah, so I'm excited about it. I really am. I'm excited about going to Glasgow.
Well, Glasgow's a good
Henderson
spot,
Henderson was beautiful, by the way. It was beautiful. I love that city. I texted Drew that this is a beautiful city. And Sadiq Clemens.
Yeah, he's good.
Is a dude, let me tell you.
Speed,
I'm glad
right?
Kentucky got him on early because of Bama, Oklahoma, a lot of people are starting to – really get in on him. He is a dynamic defensive lineman, Drew, that I saw him chase a couple running backs 40 yards down the field, and he's fast as the running backs at 6'4", 280. So, impressive.
Pretty.
And
good name to remember.
Bryce Potts is another lineman that from Henderson that took a visit to EKU this weekend. He's a late riser. I really like his game as well.
I think while we're talking about prospective recruits, Kentucky got a commitment last Friday. Second week in a row, they've got a Friday afternoon commitment. This one from Caden Mormon. Kind of good to get running backs over Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Especially ones that are
– And it's neat that these players, Nick, that are committing to Kentucky that you and I text when we watch them play.
Yeah.
You know, I was texting you during the state championship game, man, this running back from Franklin County, last he was a sophomore. I was like, he's a dude, man. He is just running crazy.
Yeah.
And then we had him the week one of the Kroger KSR game of the week,
and
Franklin County and Scott County.
What's kind of funny too, Freddie, is that him and Lavelle Wright were both these are some big physical guys. And then you see him and then it's like, oh, we're just going to catch – passes and make crazy plays too.
Yeah.
That kid's really good.
He's good.
A second in-state kid announces commitment to Kentucky in the 2023 class. We've got a commitment date for Dane Key too here in about two
October,
weeks.
October. Oh, I thought it was the 12th. What?
28th. The 12th is tomorrow.
Big brother's birthday. Say,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Man, would be real nice to see him.
I won't pull a Ryan and do the I hope, you know, we'll be proud of him and all that, but it looks like he's enjoyed his unofficial visits here recently as his football team is 6-0.
He's had a lot of them.
Yeah, he's gotten some screen time too, ESPN screen time.
It is funny that that's the second time in like five games that they've shown Dane pregame hanging out with the team.
Yeah, but, you know, we'll find out what he's going to do. But I think being 6-0 and all the fun Lexington's been having here recently certainly can't hurt pushing him in UK's direction.
No. And it certainly was fun Saturday. I've loved all of the – I mean, I haven't lost service outside Kroger Field in a long time.
Yeah.
Like, there was just so many people there. It's like, well, I'm no service for me right now.
I couldn't, and I had to transfer a ticket. That was really
nice. Big game when the cell service is out.
See, that's why they tell you beforehand to transfer your tickets.
I know.
They tell you that, Charles.
Charles.
Well, this was –
come on, man. I even knew that.
He was busy.
Listen, I got it done, okay? But I thought I was going to have to transfer it, and then the person I was transferred to was not going to show up. So I was waiting to
– You can come hang out on my porch with me and watch the next one.
Did they not have any service at the wedding?
No wedding. Hey, cats are 6-0. Maybe I should start keep going to weddings. I got a wedding this weekend. I got a wedding this weekend.
I have to get a bumblebee tattoo if Kentucky wins.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, wow. Can we pick where? It's going to look good, though. Can it be right here?
I get it right there. No.
What kind of bumble, like –
I don't know. It was on the
Well, there's a guy, after they beat Florida, went back to his car, and he says there were 200 bees in it, and he spent the whole night getting bees out of his car so he could then drive home. But then he called back into our pregame show for the LSU game, said, hey, I'm the bee guy. Just want to let you all know, I will walk through 20,000 bees and get stung by all of them for us to beat LSU. And Freddie said, I'll take it one step further. We beat LSU in Georgia. I'll get a bee tattoo.
Yeah.
So that's how we got to Freddie's bee tattoo on the line.
First, I questioned him, did you count the bees to make sure there were 200? Mm. That's a question that I – because that would be tough.
Any callers call for a 21st birthday for their daughter or sister, Bebe?
No, just on Coach O's calling show.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I have one quick personal update from the LSU game. I just want all of our listeners to know. It's not really breaking news, but a lot of people reached out to me via DM. I didn't get to answer all of them, but the bottle did make it back to Baton Rouge.
Oh, that's right.
After 15
you
years.
You gave it back.
After 15 years of being in my possession, you know, I'm not a thief. It was the first time LSU came back. I borrowed it. I won't say how I returned it. That part might have gotten a little some gray areas, but I did part ways with my lucky bottle. It lived with me from upset to upset, even though this last one wasn't an upset.
Man, it's going to be a real disappointing moment whenever somebody grabs that water bottle that's had bourbon and coffee
and orange juice.
I mean, I also won't tell anyone, but I took it out Friday night, and there were some we'll call them celebs that were out, and they enjoyed the bottle. And they were pouring into it and making it a party.
Nice.
Did they do the thing, too, where, like, it was like a smorgasbord of drinks in one?
No. We didn't, like, make crazy drinks, but
it wasn't like the one juice. When you get the funnel and then people just start pouring stuff
no,
into it.
No. It wasn't, like, crazy getting out of control party.
Not Will Levis bringing out the mayonnaise. Good.
I had it at Jeff Ruby's for dinner Friday, and then someone there had a bottle of wine, and they were like, well, we got to get you some wine in there. So they just poured the bottle straight in it. And when I finished that, someone bought me an Old Fashioned, and they poured it straight in it. So the bottle got a good tour of Lexington before I sent it back home to its family.
You know
what would
have been cool? If that was the bottle that Coach O squirted his face during the game.
Oh, man.
And it had Drew's bourbon and
wine. I can tell you, it did not smell good.
Gosh. Oh, poor Coach O.
It was good mojo, though.
You know, it was – I don't know if you all do this, but after big wins, I go and, you know, I watch, like, the post shows, you know. So I throw on College Football Final. They talk about Kentucky. All right, Scott Van Pelt, you know. Yeah. I kind of go through them. Got a little awkward on SEC Football Final when they were asking Gene Chizik about Coach O's job security.
I will say this.
And Dari made a point to be like, well, you would know because you were fired 2 years after. It's like, what? Like, no crap. That's the whole – gosh.
Gene Chizik and Cole Kublik are my two favorite football dudes and on the SEC Network. That's why I tune in, is for those two dudes. I think they're terrific. Have you listened to Chizik break down stuff? I mean, he is – to me, he's great. I love his analysis. And then I think Cole's the best in the business.
I hate how much I like the guys that used to beat us.
Who's that?
Like Chris Doering. I like Chris
Doering. He's become very likable. I think I've told this before, but when UK was at the Bahamas for basketball, he was just there on vacation, and he couldn't have been nicer to UK fans the entire time we were there.
Gosh, dude. And now he's, like, in shape, too. He's like, buddy, get fat or something.
And he gives lots of pro-Kentucky takes. And obviously anyone that's building up Kentucky, we're going to like them.
Question. And getting old sucks. I had a great question, and I forgot it. Oh, who's on the call for the game? That's key. That's key now.
Man.
If it's Aaron Murray, you're in for a treat.
It's not.
Have you read the stuff about him?
I have not.
It's Danielson and Nessler.
It's the real crew.
So
it's the big game.
I tuned in, and it was Aaron Murray and
whoever there. Yeah.
I thought the broadcast had gone down and they just had a headset on somebody on the sideline. Oh. I mean, I'm not being mean. I was just like, this can't be.
It was that bad.
Just read.
I just searched his name on Twitter, and Freddie's not alone with this complaint.
Oh, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it. Just there's a lot of people. I never complain about announcers because they got a job to do.
Well, except when they don't have the microphone's working.
Yeah, I now complain when they just keep butchering somebody's name when they should know their name.
Yeah, that's true.
We've gotten a lot of that lately.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's Mike Stoops. Oh, well, Bob Stoops. Bob, sorry.
I like the article. Mike Stoops didn't get enough respect. You literally spelled his name wrong in your article.
Yeah, but I just tuned in for a brief minute on CBS, and then I read about some stuff. So I'm not complaining. I'm just – there's a lot of people that are.
People really hate Gary Danielson.
I don't mind Gary Danielson.
Some people are saying Aaron Murray making me miss Gary.
This is another thing. These announcers, these three – we don't get them often.
No.
So I don't really have strong opinions.
Vern's still doing it?
I wish Vern could come back. But I do like Brad Nessler. Brad Nessler was more like – yeah. Because he was the voice of all of the college football video games when we were growing up. So I was always a big Brad fan. Sad to see him leave, ESPN ABC, because he did – it was like him and Jimmy Dykes were – they called a ton of basketball games mm-hmm. at the time. Now he's with CBS. Cat's got the A crew. First time since that 2018 matchup. Charles Walker, Kentucky's playing number one ranked team in the country. How many wins do you think Kentucky has against number one ranked teams in the country?
Ole Miss.
No, three.
Oh, I thought.
Because he named the other two.
He just said Ole Miss.
Oh, he didn't. He was saying Oklahoma, too. That Sugar Bowl, 1950.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Charles.
That's all right.
I didn't hear it.
He already knew it. He must have already known that it was three.
I was going to say two because I forgot about 2007.
Maybe I'll foreshadow and say four.
I forgot about 2007, so yeah, three.
Four.
Four? Can we make it four?
Stoops has not. He's 0-3 against number one ranked teams. They had a little bit of moral victory vibes in 14 when Patrick Toles threw a bunch of yards against Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
And it kind of kept it close, you know.
Blake McLean killed somebody.
Oh, yeah. That was nice. Yeah. Javis had a big touchdown. So did DeMarco Robinson. But Kentucky lost that game. And the Alabama game back in 2016, that was when Jonathan Allen said it was the most physical game he'd played.
Yep.
And that's kind of where the big blue wall started building that mantra
Cube, like,
there.
The next week or two at Missouri just went on and on about how Kentucky was the best offensive line in the SEC, and that's how it got its attention bigger than just here in Lexington.
Exactly. Yeah. So they've had some moments against number one ranked teams. Kentucky is not going to be putting – this Georgia team up on a pedestal.
No.
I don't think there's one person in that locker room that doesn't believe that they can't win this game.
And
the thing that I like most about this team's attitude is there is a very much – like this whole we're going to Atlanta, it's not lip service. They believe that they can do it, and here's your opportunity.
Yeah,
it's right in front of you. You've done everything to get to this point. Now go do it. Yeah. They've got a chance to go do that on Saturday. It's going to take a very clean football game.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to
make – but not a perfect
– yeah, but clean. A clean football game, you've got to manufacture some explosive plays.
Yeah.
And you've got to make sure that Bowers guy and running all, you know.
My final shot on Georgia, I think Stetson Bennett is a lot better than he's given credit for. I mean, I do. I mean, he's put in a tough situation. He's managed games, and that's what he's asked to do, and I think he's done a great job of that. Other than that, I that defense is very, very good. There are going to be aggravations.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have 86 quarterback hurries and 36 tackles for loss and 22 sacks and not aggravate. I do think on the other side, I think Georgia is going to attack opposite of Josh Pascal. And then defensively, I think they're going to play a lot of base and then bracket Wandale Robinson and say, okay, here we are. We're going to – our athletes are better than yours. There's a bunch of pros on this Georgia depth chart. But you know what? There's a bunch of daggone pros on the Kentucky depth chart.
Yep.
Kentucky's not scared to go down there to play. There's no intimidation factor, and they're going to give Georgia their best shot, Drew Franklin.
Yeah, like you both just said, I think internally the confidence is high as it can be. And even if there was a chance the guys didn't have any confidence, just when you turn on the TVs and you see these graphics where it's just the Kentucky helmet and the Georgia helmet and the Alabama helmet's been crossed out, mm-hmm. even if you weren't believing, when you're seeing that and that the nation's believing and starting to look, I think they're completely confident going to this game. I don't think there's a doubt.
Man.
Takes the fan base a little longer to come around because depending on your age, you've seen decades of it. These players don't have the same wounds the fans do. So the fans limp into games more than the players do. I think they're ready to go down there and roll over Georgia.
100%. Man, and Saturday, it was so much fun. The last Saturday, so much fun. Let's have another fun Saturday. I know it's going to be a fun Friday in Athens. So, wait, is it Cathens? Are we doing Cathens? I don't know.
Cathens.
Cathens, anybody?
Whatever you want to call it, it ends in a win. I just want to come back with a dub.
Oh, man. Georgia fans are usually nice. I hope they're just jerks this weekend. I hope they are. Bring it on. Us against the world.
We're coming down there to take your football team. We're taking the win. I'm coming home with what's that good beer they have down there? Creature Comfort. I'm going to go there and take all your beer.
Yeah.
We're going to do all your partying. We're going to take over your city.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be so much fun.
Blue and white chance. In Sanford Stadium.
This game's going to be so big, even Stetson Bennett the sixth will be talking about it.
Oh, man. That's big.
Real big.
I got 17-16, Cats win. Low scoring.
So you're on the under. I like the under.
I'm on the under.
Got to be on the under. Always on the under.
Are we giving predictions? Is that an official?
That's your official
prediction. I still need time to sleep on my official prediction.
We got a ways to go.
We got
to get
to watch.
The feelings to come up. Because, you know, sometimes you just get a feeling. You know, you're driving in your car and you just, you know what? Yusuf Corker is going to have a pick six and Kentucky's going to win 24-20. That kind of stuff is what happens. And you need big plays like that to happen. I'm excited. A lot of
Georgia guys on this team for Kentucky.
A lot of Georgia guys, including Chris Rodriguez,
who dropped
a touchdown the last time he was there. Just saying, there might be a revenge factor. Right now, Chris Rodriguez leading the SEC in rushing, top five nationally, I believe.
Yeah. And still not get enough love.
Would be real you'd love to see him have one of those. Oh, Georgia's defense has stopped everybody this year except the guy from their own backyard, Christopher Rodriguez Jr.
You know who can benefit from Saturday? Amar Stewart.
And John Summerall.
And John Summerall recruiting the Atlanta area, Atlanta Metro. Absolutely.
Would love to see it. Would love to see you down in Athens. If you are, come say hey. We'll be. I don't know who's exactly going to be there. I do know Luckett and I.
Sounds like I'm there. I don't know where I'm sleeping or how I'm getting there.
But our seat reserved. We have our place to stay. You all are still looking for all of those.
Yep.
But, hey.
And I might need a ride to Nashville Sunday morning if anyone is listening.
It's going to be fun either way.
Some random person.
Yeah, I'll hop in. If you're driving from Athens to Atlanta to Nashville Sunday morning, call me.
A family of seven.
I'm in. I might smell funny, but I'm in.
Oh,
in
man.
A minivan. Drew beside the car seat.
Oh, man, this
Let's
has been
it.
Fun. Let's have a weekend, ladies and gentlemen. This has been the KSR Football Podcast.
The Peep the Technique. Don't sweat the technique.